Hey there, everybody. I'm Jane.
And Olivia.
Welcome to Psych You Out, a podcast all about your favorite comedy crime show, Psych. Today, we are talking about Season 2, Episode 10.
I don't know how many are in this season.
Probably 15 or 16. You think there's more? 22? I don't know. I don't have the full list. But it's called Gus's Dad May Have Killed an Old Guy.
Wait, really? That was the title of the episode?
That was the title of the episode. Yep. And I was so happy that this was a Christmas episode.
Even though it's almost not Christmas.
I know. Well, it's the end of October, so that counts.
So Halloween.
Nope, it's around the time where I would normally start decorating for Christmas. I've got my decorations out. They're just not put up yet.
I know.
I'm excited.
I mean, I feel like I can't say anything because I've got a Christmas tree in my room all year.
All year round. Although it is a black tree.
And most of the lights are out.
Right. And you've only got like 12 ornaments on it.
Yep.
So is it really a Christmas tree?
I basically use it as a lamp.
Mood lighting.
That's exactly what it is.
So anyway, so this was, like I said, episode 10 of season 2, Christmas episode. So it originally aired in December of 2007. And Olivia is lazy and doesn't feel like walking us through it, even though we just watched it. So it couldn't be more fresh in our mind. So I'm going to walk you through it. It opens in 1987. Gus and Sean are standing on one side of a fence, lamenting the fact that they were playing kickball and the ball ended up over the fence in the yard of Old Man Fuller.
I'll be honest, I thought they were playing baseball even though they didn't have bats.
No.
Because they were talking about getting outs, and I even asked, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
I always assume baseball.
No, in kickball. I used to play kickball all the time when I was a kid.
Why would you want outs? Isn't that bad?
Well, not if you're the team that's quote-unquote batting. Or not batting, but pitching. You want as many outs as you can. And when I was a kid, it was also a continuous game. Like, it was a never-ending game, almost like the Sandlot, where it never truly ended. It just kept on going. So I bet you that's what Sean and Gus were doing, because he said that it was like 114 to 114.
Yep, and that Sean was up.
Right, right. So anyway, so they're talking about how they need to get the ball back, and eventually Sean talks Gus into going over the fence.
Yep.
Gives him a boost, and then Gus can't figure out how to get back over the fence.
I feel like he said, like, ow, like he hurt himself or something.
Yes, because Sean said, is the ball okay?
And of course, Old Man Fuller comes out and starts yelling about get that ball off.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Yep.
At that point, Sean leaves Gus.
To fend for himself
and goes running away.
I will say, just now I thought about it. It reminds me about the animated movie Monster House, the old guy. And they had the basketball go on his lawn. And then he took it inside of his house.
Yeah.
His evil house.
Well, when I played kickball as a kid, we played in the Jacoby's backyard. And every day for like 2 years, when the weather was nice, the whole street had tons of kids the same age.
Nobody would do that nowadays.
And we'd all meet at the Jacoby's house and play.
If anybody actually like plays outside, like plays kickball, I'm surprised.
I know. It's sad.
No, not sad.
Totally sad.
No, we have better things we can do now.
You do not have better things than playing outside in the sun. Getting that vitamin D. We're not getting into it, video game girl.
Video games.
So Sean and Gus are at the police station passing out gifts. Sean's dressed up like Santa Claus.
He gives a gun to McNabb.
Well, a BB gun, like a Little Red Rider BB gun, although they calls it a Daisy BB gun.
He gives a snow globe to Lassiter, which he is terrified of.
Yes, and Sean jokes that he thought someone said that he loved them, not that he was deathly afraid at the idea of waking up and being inside of a snow globe. And then, of course, Lassie goes over to his desk and
it's
covered in like
more.
Two or three dozen snow globes.
And then I don't know like what he gave to Juliet.
It looked like a cat toy.
But I don't think she has a cat.
I think she had lost a cat. And he was giving that to her as a memento. That's kind of what it sounded like to me that he was describing.
I don't know.
I know. It was confusing to me, too, because I had the same thought. I'm like, I didn't think she had a cat. But maybe she does have a cat, and that's what the gift is for. But it made it seem like the gift was as a remembrance.
I mean, it definitely was something sentimental, because she really enjoyed it. Yeah.
And Sean wanted to take the credit that this gift is not from Sean and Gus.
It is from Sean.
It is from Sean alone. Yep. And no one else. So, conversation ensues about how Sean and Henry have been invited over to the Gusters.
Only a few times. Right, because Juliet talks about how her family is coming over, and she invites Sean. I don't remember if she also invited Gus, but I know she definitely invited Sean.
And Sean was like, no, I'm going to Gus's house, because we never get invited over there.
And then Sean brings up the idea that, well, Lassiter has been divorced. Separated.
Right, so maybe
you can bring him.
Yeah. And she very sweetly
says yes.
Goes to Lassie and invites him over.
Yep.
And at first he's like, no, I'm not going to go. And then she's like, well, if you change your mind, you know, I'd like you to come over. And he eventually is like, okay, yeah, I'd like to come over.
I don't even think they had that interaction.
I thought they did. No, when they did not. It was later in the episode when he was standing by the column talking about going over. That's right. Never mind. Cut two. Well, then at some point, Gus is like, you know, the reason why you didn't get invited that often.
And Sean said,
Sean says, well, yeah, my dad is like a terrible guest. So no wonder you never invited him over. And Gus is like, not really your dad. And Sean says, me? I'm the one? And Gus says, yes, my parents think you're a bad influence. And Sean is very upset.
And we'll see what he has done to influence Gus.
Yes, we will. So, cut to, they're sitting at dinner, and I loved who played Gus's parents. It was Ernie Hudson and Felicia Rashad. And Ernie Hudson was the fourth member of the original Ghostbusters.
I was going to say, they both looked somewhat familiar.
Yep, and Felicia Rashad. Nothing. Was the mom on the Cosby Show back in the 80s.
Well, why do you not know her?
So they were a perfect 80s pair to be Gus's dad in this episode. So I appreciate
they were both
that.
His dad?
Parents. So, thank you. See, you're here for my corrections. So Sean brings up some memories of childhood with Gus. You know, he's like, look, you know, you should thank me. I'm the one that kept him from smoking because I made him smoke
an entire pack.
And they're like, well, no wonder he's short. And he's
no wonder he has asthma.
Right. And Gus says, I'm 5'10 and a half. And the dad is like, I see you, Gus. I see you. Very patronizing.
Yeah.
I see you, Gus.
And of course, with them saying that's probably why he has asthma, Sean said, well, I'm the reason then, because of his asthma, that he got into pharmaceuticals.
Right, and therefore became a pharmaceutical salesman.
And of course, Henry the entire time is just like,
when can we eat? This is good food. Can we just eat?
He picked up a plate like to go start grabbing food, and they put it down when the conversation continued about Gus.
So the meal is over. They're now outside, and they're walking house to house caroling. And Sean is very, let's go, let's go. And they go up to Old Man Fuller's house and knock on the door, and no one answers. And this is a nitpick.
Mm-hmm.
Sean should not have opened the door.
Why?
That would be breaking and entering. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have permission to open. You don't just walk up to somebody's house and open their front door.
Well, they knocked a bunch.
It doesn't matter. You don't open somebody's door.
They're carolers.
Okay.
It's Sean. So what do you expect?
So during the Christmas time, I can leave my door unlocked and just let anybody open it and sing carols to me?
For one, we're not insane. We're going to lock our door because right. We're normal people. And this is also a few years ago. You got to think about that.
Doesn't matter.
This is also in their neighborhood.
It doesn't matter if you knock on. When we lived in New Jersey, we had a pop-in thing with our neighbors that we were allowed to go pop in anytime we wanted. We were like family.
Mm-hmm.
I still knocked on their door and I still waited for them to come to the door.
Mm.
Even though we were like family. They weren't like family with Old Man Fuller.
Definitely not.
They should not have opened his door. That's a nitpick. So anyway, so Sean, moving on.
My nitpick for that was the fact that his door was unlocked. Didn't even care about him opening. I was just like, why is your door not locked?
Well, there's that too. So they open the door. It's a Sing Carols to Old Man Fuller. And what's going on in there?
He did.
He did. He is hanging from a rope off his upstairs banister. Everybody, of course, freaks out.
Very shocked.
Well, Sean is looking around, and he starts to get a sense that there is some foul play involved.
Murder.
What?
Murder.
Oh, murder?
Yeah, I just said it weird.
Sounded like a non-word to me. So he looks and he sees that, you know, the guy had a full dinner set up on a tray. He had circled shows in the TV guide that there he was planning on watching.
Broken cup.
Yeah, there was a broken cup on the floor. And those signs did not point to somebody who just all of a sudden decided, no, you know what? Instead of having dinner and watching my shows tonight, I'm going to hang myself.
Mm-hmm.
So he fakes a vision and says...
When the police are actually there and right, doing their thing.
Right.
We should say this is not just, you know, them popping in and immediately he gets into his thing.
That's true. You're right. I didn't mention that the next scene was police were there gathering up evidence.
Yes. It would be weird if he just started doing his thing in front of the carolers.
That would. Gus's parents were there when Sean started doing his, because Gus wanted Sean to do it with his parents as witnesses.
Well, yeah, no. What happened was the body was about to leave, so the door was open, so Gus's parents finally could see inside the house, and that's when he started doing his vision.
Right.
They weren't inside the house.
No. But Gus wanted his parents to witness it so that he could show them that the psych business was legit, because they were minimizing it during dinner.
Minimizing?
They were making it seem like it was more of a hobby than work.
I know. It's just, you said a weird word.
It was a very normal word.
Just minimizing seems like a thing that you do on the internet.
Oh, my goodness. I have failed you as a mother. If that's the only reference you have for minimization.
Yes.
Gee whiz.
That's your fault, and then education.
So the door opens, and they're about to wheel out the body. Sean starts to fake a vision. He says that it was murder, and basically points out the fact that he was an old man. There's no way that he could hoist himself over the banister, for one thing, to hang himself. And that...
The fact that he had dinner.
Yeah, and basically, you know, everything made it look like that something else happened besides suicide, that there was foul play. And so the police agree, you know what, we'll take a second look, because Buzz walks in and says, well, Sean's actually kind of right.
Our other dudes
or crime scene units agree that, you know, something else is going on.
I'm glad that, because normally they just sort of go with Sean. I'm glad that they had somebody else, like, that's a professional, say, yes, we agree that is
right,
likely.
Yeah.
Because normally they're just like, maybe
just
not.
Kind of on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was different, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that was good. So at that point, Lassie says, okay, everybody, all the carolers down to the station, we're going to take statements from everybody. Let's go. So in the next scene, Gus and his family and Sean, they're all at the police station. And they're just kind of waiting their turn, I guess, to give their statements. When Lassie walks in and says, hey, we've gotten more evidence back, and it looks like there was some weed killer
that happened to match your weed killer.
Right, that matched some weed killer found on your property. And
he explained about the property line dispute and how, you know, the weeds, Mr. Fuller wouldn't take care of them, so that was...
So he would put down weed killer to try and get them. And the wife was like, why would you do that? And he's like, well, you know, we're battling over the bushes. And so that's what I did to get rid of him. Lassiter then says, well, that's not the only thing. The other thing is that the wound on Fuller's head that we saw was created by a hammer. And it just so happens we found that hammer in your yard with your print. Yeah.
Yes, they found the hammer and it had
his prints. Had his prints on it.
And of course,
and he's like, well, yeah, Fuller was stealing my
tools.
My
you
tools
can
all
check
the time.
All of my other tools. They're going to have my prints on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lassie says, well, you know, well, that's actually not the very last thing. The rope that was used to hang Old Man Fuller was rope from your boat.
And of course, he jokes, oh, I bet you found it from my boat.
Right. And Lassie says, yes. And the dad says, wait, I was just joking. I didn't know that it was really from my boat. And so they said, well, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
You're now the lead suspect due to all this evidence.
With all of our crime shows that Netflix has that we've watched.
Right.
I feel like they shouldn't have just been in that little office area. I feel like if they were going to arrest him and tell him, hey, we found all of this evidence, they would want to have him in the interrogation room. That's just me, though.
Right. Well, think about it, though. They originally went down just to give statements because originally he was just a caroler.
That's true. So, but they immediately were like, hey, we have this evidence. They didn't immediately go into questioning and then...
Right. No, I would assume that they went in, said that this was all the evidence we had. Then they probably moved him to the interrogation room to talk more in depth about the events leading up to Fuller being found.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and Gus are now back in the neighborhood, and they pull up to Fuller's house. And Sean is looking at the house and realizes, you know, his house compared to everybody else's, it's kind of in it's in disrepair. It's not like beautiful like all the other homes in the neighborhood.
It's a bit of a dump.
A bit of a dump, but it was a beautiful Victorian house.
It's like
even if it was not cared for.
It's like in movies when like there's that old guy who lives up on a hill and like lightning flashes behind him.
It wasn't like an old gothic psycho house.
No, but that's
right. But it was in disrepair. So Sean says, I wonder if this neighborhood's HOA was ticked off about how this guy didn't take care of his house. So they go to the head of the HOA's house. And initially, he's like really mean to them at the door. And then when Sean says who he is, he's like, oh, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, I don't want to buy anything.
Don't want to buy any magazines. Don't want you to solicit. And then there was one other.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of things that he spouted off in response to like any kind of solicitor that would come to the door.
Yeah, anyone who would possibly come to your door. No, I don't want it.
Yeah. But then he invites Sean and Gus in, and they start talking to him, the homeowner president, about the neighbor Old Man Fuller. And he's like, we were one of his few friends.
Yeah, because he refused to sell his property so that we could, the neighborhood, that area could be historical.
Yeah, they were trying to get the neighborhood designated as a historic district, and Fuller was on board with that and supported that. And so the result was is that the head of the HOA and this guy were actually friends because they were fighting the same fight
even to get the neighborhood designated. Even though they butt heads about the HOA.
Right, right. And so then at some point, the HOA president's wife comes in and she's like, oh, I remember you boys. I remember you used to have a lawn cutting business. And
we paid you $5 and you didn't do any work.
That's right. And she's like, let me go get my lawnmower. And they look at it, Gus and Sean look at each other thinking, is she really going to make us go mower lawn? And sure enough, cut to Sean's struggling with a reeler mower and Gus is watering the flower beds. And she comes out at some point and she says, hey, make sure you water their gardenias. They're older than you guys are.
Yep.
So, you know, take good care of them. Very funny. So Sean looks over at Fuller's house, which is right next door.
Like, I think it was probably like across the road or
something.
Yeah,
within eyeshot, certainly. And he sees that the curtains on the inside or the shades are being pulled down. And he's like, somebody's in Fuller's house.
I feel like, you know, since it was a crime scene, they should have the tape at least until the investigation is over.
I agree. That was another nitpick that I had. You picked the nit before I could.
But of course, the show moves on.
Right. So Gus goes running and Sean says, wait, are we really going to leave them hanging on the lawn again like we did?
I hope that they ended up going back.
Well, they didn't show them going back.
I know, but I hope they did.
So, So they go over to Fuller's house, and it turns out that there's a realtor there, and she's getting the house ready to put on the market. And she basically says that she has been trying to get this house listed forever, but old man Fuller wouldn't sell, and now's the opportunity to sell the house for a really good profit.
I will say, her, like, I barely saw the plan, because the way that they find out that she's a realtor is Sean looks over to see what's on her little clipboard that she has, and it's the little plan that she has.
For yeah, it was a map of the front yard to redo the landscaping.
Yeah. I got two words, and I can no longer remember them, but it was like, it was the actual ground, because she also had like walls or whatever.
Right.
It was the actual ground.
Right. And it said new turf.
That's what it is. I was like, there's two words. I don't know what they are.
It said new turf because she wanted to put all brand new grass down because his was kind of overgrown and not taken care of.
I was going to say dead.
I don't know if it was dead, but it certainly wasn't well taken care of. So they think that the realtor is now the prime suspect. And Sean says, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and tell the cops to look into the background at this realtor. Well, in the meantime, Lassie and Juliet pull up. And Juliet comes over to talk to Sean and Gus and says, well, you know what? Your leads panned out. And you know, and they're like, well, why aren't you doing anything? She said, well, I'm here to distract you. And they say, well, why are you distracting us? And she looks over the shoulder and they turn and see Lassie walking out with Gus's mom, Winnie, to put her in the police car.
I will say the first time that that scene came on, and even just now when we watched it, I remember seeing Lassiter, like, not go with Juliet towards them. And I was like, where is he going?
So it turns out when they looked into the phone records of Fuller to see all how many calls the realtor made and when the realtor last called, they saw a lot of calls coming from Winnie. And so that's why they decided that Winnie was the true suspect. Was because Winnie was the one that was making several calls to old man Fuller.
As well as moving money into his bank account.
Right, making deposits, that's right. They're back at the police station, and Winnie is in the interrogation room, and the Gus's dad and Sean and Gus are in there as well. And she's bemoaning, she's like, I cannot go to jail. And the husband's like, oh, you'll be fine. And then he looks at Gus and says, she won't make it. I thought that was very funny. And Winnie admits that years ago when the, what was the dad's name? Bill. The dad's name was Bill. Bill's boat had caught on fire and they ended up filing an insurance claim and got the money before Winnie realized that she was the one that accidentally caught the boat on fire.
Well, she was going to call the insurance people or something, or tell somebody.
Right, that she realized that she's the one that actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
But they paid the insurance out quicker than they were expecting, so she just let it go. Well, old man Fuller had seen her do it and came to her and said, I saw that you're the one that actually burned down the boat, so you're going to pay me money to keep quiet. And so she did, thinking that he was old.
He'll die.
And that he'll die soon and no one will be the wiser. But he kept on living and living and living. So Sean uses this information and he thinks to himself, you know what? Fuller, the realtor said that Fuller had a full, unobstructed 360 degree view of the entire area. Betcha she wasn't the only one that he was blackmailing. There had to have been other things going on in the neighborhood.
That he saw. So let's go to his house.
And see if we can find out anything. So they sneak into Fuller's house.
Once again, breaking and entering.
That's right. And they're walking around and Sean realizes that Fuller was a little bit senile because he had post-it notes everywhere in his house to remind him.
Locked door, keys.
Turn off lights.
Yeah.
You know, just random notes all over the place as reminders. Then they go into, it looked like it was the top floor, like the attic space of his house, because it was up really high.
Yeah, I was going to say either that or like a study room.
But it had a view of the whole intersection area, and street. And there's a rocking chair in front of the window, and there's a telescope. And Sean sits in the chair, and he realizes this was where he sat to see everybody's business in the neighborhood.
Though it wasn't a full 360. It was probably like it was probably less than 180.
Yeah. And so Gus comes into the room to come check it out, and the floor squeaks. And Sean says, there's something under the floor. And Gus says, yes, there is. So they both, I thought this was more of a Halloween episode thing that they did, but it made me laugh anyway. They both tried to scare each other. And
Sean mimicked
a heartbeat.
Yeah, I was going to, because Gus said from that story, so I'm going to assume from Edgar Allan Poe's story, Telltale Heart.
Uh-huh.
And then Gus.
Gus started rocking the chair.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And what was his reference? He referenced a movie.
Psycho?
Yes, he was quoting Norman. Norman, where are you? That's right, it was Psycho. So they're both freaking each other out, and they, you know, are both scaring each other. And finally they say, nope, let's stop. Let's just look and see what's under here.
Yeah.
So they lift up the floorboard, and they find binoculars, and they find a camera with a very long lens, and they find an umbrella, an envelope, completely different item. They find an envelope filled with pictures. And so they flip through the pictures, and they can identify several neighbors within different the neighborhood. Houses.
Yeah.
So they look at one picture, and it looks as though there's somebody who's having an affair. And Sean says, that's our culprit.
Because yep. That's who we need to go get.
Yeah, that's a pretty big secret to keep. So he looks through the binoculars trying to find what window matches the window in
not
the picture.
Not binoculars, the camera.
That's right. Yes, that's right. It was the camera. And so he's looking and looking and looking and finds the house. And he goes, that's where our culprit lives. So they go to that house and knock on the door. And this young guy, late 20s, I think, answers the door. And they said, we're here about the pictures. And he goes running.
He bolted.
Yes. And Sean and Gus give chase. I love the way Gus runs. It makes me laugh. He like lifts his head almost like he's looking at the sky. And he just keeps his arms very straight. I don't see how he can see where he's going when he runs like that.
He's probably looking down slightly, like
he must have been, but still, it's funny to watch.
So this is just me. I found this funny. Is originally Sean and Gus are like at the same pace, and slowly, you know, Gus gets faster and farther.
Right.
Sean, of course, like
takes a shortcut.
He takes a break, and then he's like, out of breath. Looks around. He's like, oh, shortcut. Let's go do this. And then he ends up, he knows, like, the houses, because obviously it's the neighborhood that they grew up in. So he goes, apparently somebody has a treehouse, and I'm going to assume, like, a tire swing or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only reason I could think of that.
A rope would be there.
A rope would be there. But he, like, Tarzan swings into.
And knocks the guy down.
Yeah.
Yep. So they knock the guy down, they're able to catch him, and they say, you know, look. We have pictures, and we know you're having an affair.
Of course, he's like, what do you mean? I have your pictures.
Right. And they're like, what do you mean? And he says, I work at the 1 hour photo, and I like to save the pictures of the hot girls. And they're like, gross. Mm-hmm. And then, they show him the picture that they found in old man Fuller's house. And he's like, well, that looks like my dad. And Sean says, well, that means this photo is from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he looks the same age as us.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean says, do you recognize this woman in the picture? And he says, no, I just know that she would come over and visit at night. I never saw her, but I know when she left, it smelled like white linen in the house. That was the perfume that she wore.
And it's not his mom because she died before they moved there.
Right, right. So it was somebody else that was coming to visit his dad. So Sean and Gus go back to Gus's parents' house to kind of report back what they've discovered so far. So the Gusters have gotten a flyer in the mail about an estate sale. Bill is lamenting that, you know, why are they making people buy stuff that's probably theirs? And so Sean thinks to himself, hey, I think that whoever did the murder is going to come back to that estate sale and try and buy something that, or get their hands on the photos, because they know the photos are in the house somewhere. Well, one thing that we didn't mention is that earlier in the episode, Gus and his parents and Sean and Henry, was Henry? No, Henry wasn't there. This is at the Guster's house. They were having takeout, and Gus was able to identify with his super smeller, like all the spices of what was in the food. He took the food over to his parents, and they also had the super smeller skills. And so Sean is like, you know what? You came by that ability naturally. You got it from your parents. That's awesome. So later on, when Sean realizes that the culprit is probably going to be at the estate sale and that the culprit is probably the woman that smelled like white linen, Sean says, I'm going to need your super smeller. I need you to smell everybody at the estate sale.
He asks if he can do it from memory.
Right. And Gus says, absolutely. And you know, one thing we haven't talked about at all in this episode is the B storyline of Lassiter going to
Juliet's house. What, you thinking about Big Brother?
Yes, Julie Chen. But first, earlier in the episode at the beginning, we talked about how Juliet had invited Lassiter over, and initially he hemmed and hawed, and then he decided that, yes, I'll come over. So when the first time he goes over, he is really kind of awkward and weird. And so she drags him away from the adults and takes him into the kitchen where three young boys are like making crafts or whatever. And he proceeds to get really weird about the crafting and takes the joy out of it.
Basically trying to put like history and science and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Basically taking the story elements out of it.
Right. And, but then later on, he goes back to her house with a box and says, oh, I was just in the neighborhood. And
I was doing an arrest.
Right. And I brought these for the boy. I brought this for the boys. And in the box is a Wii. And so they're like, yeah, that's awesome.
Because nobody plays kickball anymore. They play video games.
Oh, whatever. So he really has kind of ingratiated himself, and at some point during the episode kind of becomes a nuisance, to the point where Juliet, when he invites himself over for dinner, she's like, well,
it's a family thing.
And he's like, I get it. That's fine.
I'm too cool. You.
Yeah.
Feel bad.
He's like, I know you're just jealous that your nephews like me better than their aunt Juliet.
That you cannot compete with me.
Right. I'm sure there's somebody out there who thinks you're pretty fly.
He said fly so like disdainfully.
Well, and so not cool, because Lassie's not cool.
Yes.
Although he thinks he's cool because he's got these three young kids.
He thinks that he was like, I'm sorry that I can't turn off my charm.
So going back to the main storyline. So they're at the estate sale and Gus
is being weird.
Well, Sean sprays the white linen and they go into the estate sale to start smelling everybody. And Gus is, like you said, he's being weird. Instead of just casually sniffing around.
It's like when they were in the park in the nanny episode.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. He would walk up to a pair of women and just...
Right in their face.
And they're like, what are you doing?
Could not be closer. Could not be more suspicious.
Yeah. So he keeps doing that. And he says to Sean, he keeps doing it. And they're bidding on stuff up at the front. And every time he comes up after he's sniffed,
it looks like he's nodding.
He looks
yes.
like he's nodding that he's placing a bid. So the price keeps going from 100 to 200, 300, 400. Finally, at 500, he said, the auctioneer says,
sold
to the man in the sweater. You have won this Confederate flag. And Gus is horrified that as a black man, he has just paid $500 for a Confederate flag.
Yeah. That had holes in it and like was burnt and really should, you know, be thrown out anyways.
Yeah. So Gus tells Sean, and you know, all that's going on, he's like, look, I'm not getting it. And so Sean sprays it again and says, can you get the base note of what's in this perfume?
Because Sean thinks he's had a revelation.
Right. And so he sprays it and Gus smells it and he says, gardenias. So then Sean at that point breaks up the auction and says, I know what happened. I know how Old Man Fuller was killed. And basically he describes how 30 years ago, Mrs. Mitchell, who was the HOA president's wife, who was having them do the yard work, she would deliver flowers, and she would deliver them to all the houses down the street because she was so proud of her gardenias. And one thing led to another. She was having an affair with a guy across the street. Fuller got pictures of it and was able to bribe her because she was married into the founding families. The founding family of the neighborhood. And that if it came out that the founding family, that someone was having an affair, they would no longer be respected. And it would be, you know, a bad mark against that family. So similar to Winnie, Gus's mom, Mrs. Mitchell also thought that Old Man Fuller would die soon. But he kept on living and kept on living. And when she figured out that he was going senile, she was afraid that he would forget that he agreed to keep it secret. He would accidentally give out the secret as part of his senility and not remember that it was supposed to be a secret. So she went over there with the attempt to poison him, but he figured it out and spit it up instead. And then she tried to hit him with a hammer, but he was able to fight her off somewhat, which is why the wound on his head wasn't that deep. So at some point, Fuller falls. He's on the floor. She at that point grabs the rope. I don't know where the rope came from. I don't remember that. But she found the rope, wrapped it around his neck, used his... So he had one of those seats on the stairs that would take him from the first floor to the second floor and let him sit down.
He was very slow.
Yes. But she tied the rope to that and around his neck and then was able to use that chair to get the rope up.
Yeah.
And then was able to jerry-rig that rope until it was tied to the banister, leaving marks behind on the banister, which Sean had seen earlier.
Yep.
When they were in the house and found the photos.
I think he also saw him before when the police were there. I could be wrong. I know that there was some scene at the very beginning when he also saw them.
That I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, that I don't know. So in any event, you know, he says, you're the one that killed him. You used the chairlift, you used the rope, you tied it around, and you threw him over the balcony. And Juliet runs right over to her and places her under arrest. And they basically,
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that she at that point turned to her husband to be like, I'm sorry.
And yeah, then, she says, I'm sorry, I couldn't let him ruin our reputation, is basically what she said. So at that point, she's under arrest. Lassie turns to Gus and says, you can tell your parents that they're being released. They're no longer suspects in the crime.
And we're dropping the charges.
And we're dropping all charges.
Although I still feel like they should have done something to about the insurance fraud, technically.
Yeah, well, that's a plot point that they just decided to let go, I guess, in the episode.
I guess. Well, I mean, technically, they technically do know.
So, cut to is now the end of the episode, and Gus and his parents are there with Sean and Henry, and they're happy that the charges are over with.
I believe they're in Henry's house, too.
Yes, they are in Henry's house. And we failed to mention that at some point... It was
Sean, Gus, Henry, and Gus's parents, they were all together.
I don't think the dad was there. I think it was just Winnie.
I could swear it was both parents.
No, because remember they sat Winnie down at the table? So I think it was sometime when the dad was still in jail. Hmm. And they brought Winnie home.
Well, I know that Sean and Henry, they had went away, and they were like, oh, it's only been 3 hours.
Right.
So I feel like it might have been that very first scene when they went over, like, before they had found the body.
No. No, it was later on in the episode. Hmm. And definitely the dad was not there. It was just Gus talking to his mom.
I could swear.
Henry and Sean stepped away so that Henry could yell at Sean.
Apparently it's been too long since I've watched the episode.
Yes, it's been a whole 2 hours. And the reason why I bring up the scene is that that's the pineapple scene, because they opened the fridge at some point and the pineapple is in there. So that just randomly popped into my head about that scene. Well, at the end, another thing that was taking place in the episode, there was a C storyline where Sean and Henry had given each other Christmas gifts. There were secrets and they were supposed to try and guess what the gifts were.
Yeah.
So in this last scene, as they're celebrating the fact that the Gusters are free.
Yep.
Sean and Henry swap their gifts, and Henry has given Sean golf balls that have the Psych logo on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
also golf lessons.
Right. And then Henry opens up his gift, and it's a piece of paper that basically just says,
You're giving me golf balls
and golf lessons with a man named Pierre.
Yeah.
And Henry says, we are never doing this gift swap again. And Sean says, just don't be a hater just because you lost.
Yeah.
So that's how the episode ends.
Well,
no, it doesn't quite end, because then at that point, Gus's parents are talking to Gus, and Gus had stood up for himself at the police precinct because they kept
babying him
and not letting him step up and help. And finally, Gus says, you know what? I'm a man. You keep your savings in a piggy bank. I have a 401k that's a fully diversified portfolio.
Yeah.
And I take care of myself, and it's about time I take care of you. I'm going to take care of paying the fees we have to pay.
Yeah.
And so the dad once again was like, I see you, son. I see you, son.
Well, no, he was actually like, yes, and he shook his hand.
You would think so, but then at the end of the episode.
Hush.
No, because at the end of the episode. They say to Gus, they're like, you know what? Thank you for all your help. And we wouldn't mind talking to you about the whole diversification thing. And Gus is feeling like, hey, my parents.
They are actually finally care.
Yes. And it just reminded me of a very funny scene that I need to mention when I'm done with this. And he's like, I'm a man. I can take care of myself and I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And they're like, absolutely. And so Gus leaves to like go get the car or something.
Yep.
And the parents immediately turn to Sean and hand him money and say, you're going to look after him, right? And Sean takes the money and says, of course I am. Of course.
But he also says, you sure this is enough for Gus?
You know what? You're right. And they give him another 20. So that was funny. But the scene that made me laugh the most, and it made you laugh too, was when they were over at the Gusters for dinner and they were babying him. Sean brought up the whole smoking thing and the asthma thing. And then they said, well, maybe Sean is the reason why Gus never got married. And Gus
I remember what scene you're talking about now.
And Gus says something like, oh, I get mine. And the dad looks at him like, excuse me?
Everyone sort of looks at Gus little mortified.
That was so, so funny. That was the part I laughed at the most.
What you didn't mention in that very last scene
right.
was that after Henry opened his gift, Gus gave Sean a little bit of a look, like, seriously. And that's when Sean brought out a real gift for Henry, which was a snow globe of him fishing.
Him fishing, that's right. Yeah. So that's the episode. I can't think of any pop culture references that we haven't already talked about. I talked about the parents, Felicia Rashad and Eddie.
We talked about the chair and book.
The chair and book?
Psycho. And the heart, Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, gotcha.
Telltale Heart.
I did not know what you were talking about.
I couldn't think of what it was called.
So that's the episode.
We only got a few more this season.
I know. Here, let me.
I think it's 15. No, I looked it up. It's 16.
All right, well, that's this episode.
We'll see you next time.
We will see you next time. Thank you for listening. If you want to email us, you can email us at psychyououtpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at psychyououtpod. Olivia is desperate to put a potato chip in her mouth right now. Oh, she already did put it in her mouth. Olivia, is Christmas your favorite holiday?
No.
What is your favorite holiday?
Halloween.
Halloween?
Yeah.
So are you going to go trick-or-treating?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is unsafe. Do not do that.
It's not unsafe. You can figure out a way to do it safely.
It is unsafe. Wear a mask if you are.
And that too. We want to wish you a happy Halloween. And based on this episode, Merry Christmas.
No, it is not time.
We'll see you next time.
Woo.